Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just want to encourage us with a couple of scriptures. The first one is going to be in Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to speak on this because we all go through these times in our lives. And I remember growing up in the Caribbean, I went to the beach one time. And when I went to the beach, a friend of mine, we went out. They used to take tire tubes, and we used to just use the inflatable part, and we would lay in the water, and we would, you know, kind of like just, you know, relax. And when one time we were in the water, and when we were in the tube, we looked at the shore, and we were so far away, they had to call the boats in to bring us back in. Because every time we tried to get back in, we couldn't get back to the shore. No matter everything we tried, the current was just pulling us. I remember a couple of years ago also, we went on a family vacation, and I think Evan got caught in a rip current too. He got pulled away, and the lifeguards on the beach had to come and rescue him because he got pulled away. And it was so quick that it happened. It was like one, we were looking at him, and then the next minute he was getting pulled away. And this is a subtle thing that happens to us all the time. Sometimes we drift away. And this is what the scripture talks about. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away." And this is always something that we have to be mindful of. As human beings, our emotions or things in life can cause us to drift away from the Lord. And I'm not talking about being unsaved and being saved. We don't believe in that. We know from John chapter 10, we know from other scriptures that, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved, right? And so that doesn't happen. But, you know, what you can do is drift away. And so we see from scripture a couple of times where, you know, we heard about Demas. He said, Demas having loved this present world. Right. You know what I'm saying? We know about Hymenaeus and Philetus. There are other people who are spoken about in scripture that have drifted away because the thing of this world is pulling them. And so I want to talk about a couple of things. What can you do to prevent yourself from drifting away? So if you're in a boat, and I read up on this because, again, I hate boats. I have motion sickness. So if a boat and me, we don't get together. Right. So I have to do research on what happens if you're drifting away, right? So if you're drifting away, the first thing they said, if you have on the boat, you have an anchor, right? That's the first thing you should do. You should try to anchor yourself because that means you can stop yourself from drifting, right? And so I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. And this talk tells us how we can anchor ourselves. And trust me, you don't want to anchor yourselves in the things of this world because the things of the world change every day from day to day. So you may try to anchor yourself to your job, and you know what? You get laid off. You may try to anchor yourself to your house. You know what? Things can happen. You might try to anchor yourself to your family, your career, whatever. Those things can change. But we have an anchor. It says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." And so this anchor that we have is in the veil. It's in heaven. It's surety, right? And so it's like it can't move, right? And so that's the encouragement we can have. If you feel yourself drifting, if you feel yourself going in the things of this world, or you feel yourself drifting away from the Lord, you have to remember, where does your anchor hold, right? We always sing about the anchor. We have that song we always sing, "Our anchor holds, our anchor holds." Where does your anchor hold? Your anchor should hold within heaven, within the veil. And it's not, so usually when you have an anchor, it's in the sea, but our anchor is heavenly, right? So that's where we're going, you know what I'm saying? That's where we want to be secured in. We want to be secured in heaven. We got to always remind ourselves that this world is not our home. The world is pulling our attention. The world is pulling us, right? And so it says, "Our anchored soul, both sure and steadfast, enters into presence behind the veil." It's secured by the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that because it says here, but also it's secured in heaven. Behind that veil, it's secured. And that's what we have to make sure that we are. So the first thing, if you find yourself drifting, The first thing, you want to make sure you have an anchor. You want to make sure it's secured by something. So if it's secured, you can't move back and forth. The other thing also is that where you anchor it, it has to be somewhere that's not moving, right? Because you can anchor yourself to something, right? I can anchor myself to another boat, right? If that boat keeps on moving, right? My anchor is moving. I'm moving with that boat. But our anchor is secured in heaven. It's secured by the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's see why we can have surety in that. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So first is that we're anchored in him, but also if we know our target, right? You know what I'm saying? Our target, if we feel we're drifting away from an object, right? The object may change, right? But the Lord doesn't change. The Lord doesn't change. And we know that we can stay secure. And as we anchor down, as we look to him, we know he's not going to change. See, things can change. Things can ever flow. But we can have secure. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to tell you that the world keeps on moving its target for happiness, for joy, for contentment. And it tells you, well, first, the American dream was to buy a house. Now they realize, 70% of, I was reading, 50% or something can't afford a house. So now they're trying to move the target. Now it's getting that job, that six figures, right? Or thing. So then they're going to move the target a couple years from now. That's not going to be able to get there. And so they're going to keep on moving the target, what contentment and joy is, right? And so you keep on moving. You keep on moving to try to find, where can I find that joy and contentment? But the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. It doesn't change off of emotions, off the world of today or the news of today, right? And so that's what we can have. So the first thing is that we know when we're drifting, we want to have an anchor. You want to make sure your target's not moving. Because if your target's moving, you're in trouble anyway, right? Because you start drifting and you're trying to get back. Imagine if you're trying to get somewhere and it's moving here and then you, okay, I got to go back over here. And so that's a couple of things. And so let's find out another things that we can do. We find ourselves drifting. One thing that I read about when they said about drifting is that you have to be able to see your target, right? It's where it's supposed to be. It's not moving. You know what I'm saying? The Lord Jesus Christ, we have an anchor. But do you see your target? Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Well, let's read for verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the key verse. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And so I want to encourage us about how is our sight. And these are things that the Lord puts here that if we lack these things, we're going to be short-sighted. And we can look at some of these things, right? Self-control. If you find yourself not being self-controlled, if you find yourself not showing brotherly kindness and these things, the Bible says that you're losing your sight. You're being short-sighted, right? And if you can't see a target, if you're blinded by the things of this world, if you can't see a target, you're not going to be able to, you're going to continue drifting away and you can't get to where you're supposed to be going. And so he's encouraging us with these things is that if you don't have these things, you're barren, you're unfruitful, right? And that's not what we want to be. And so my encouragement to us is that as we look at these different things, he said to add to faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, self-control. And the verse we first read in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, take heed to the thing that you have heard, right? And that's the first warning that he said before drifting away. Take heed to the things that you have heard. And what it means is to pay attention to the things that you have heard. I mean, most of us have heard the Bible in some form, or have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I can speak for myself, from a child, I have heard the Bible, right? But do we pay attention to what we are being taught? I know sometimes, you know, when my father used to be preaching or another brother, I'm like, oh, it's the football game about to come on, you know, let's hurry this up. You know, I need to get home, right? You know what I'm saying? You're not paying attention to what's being heard. You're focusing on what's going to happen tomorrow or you know something, you know, that's going to happen in the future in a week. And you're not focused on, you're not listening to what has been heard. And it reminded me of that scripture in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So that's what, and we read in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, take heed or to pay attention to the things that you heard. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. It's not enough just to read the Bible. It's not enough just to hear a nice word and you go home and, you know, I'm encouraged. Are you doing the things that the Lord is telling you to do? Are you, when you read the word, are you putting them into practice? These are the things that will help you from drifting away. You know what I'm saying? Because another thing, what I learned about drifting away, they said is the wind that's pulling you away, right? And so we know about the world in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, it talks about it. It talks about, it said that we no longer be taught children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in a cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Basically what this is saying, that the world's trying to toss you to and fro, like the wind. You know what I'm saying? Toss you to and fro. They have different doctrines, right? You know what I'm saying? They have different teachings, right? You know what I'm saying? The world is trying to let you think like how they think, right? And that's how the wind is contrary to what you, it's contrary to where you want to go. And that's what's happening, is that the world is pulling you, the world is pushing you into these things. And the Bible talks about it's pushing you to and fro, carried about to and fro. And so that's another thing, is that we have to be, you have to look at the wind, right? And where the wind is pushing you. And so it's not you fighting against the wind, right? It's about you looking at your target and making sure you're looking at the target. Because what happens is that if you try to fight against the wind with the current, and you're trying to think of the current, and so there's a special way you have to row to get back to shore, they said. So that's another important thing that you have to worry about as you go, as you're being drifted away. Another thing also is that we as Christians can follow the Lord, but we can follow the Lord from a distance. And that's another thing, is that you may say, well, some people, what they do, they throw up their hands and say, well, we're drifting anyway, right? So we might as well just go with the drift, right? And it reminds me of that scripture, Luke 22 and verse 54. It says, having arrested him, and they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But it says, but Peter followed at a distance. And that's always the thing we have to worry about, right? Is that some Christians, they say, well, I'm doing just enough. But that, to me, is following the Lord from a distance, right? Because they're in the world. If you look at somebody from the world and you look at somebody how they live in, you can't see any difference. But they are Christians. They do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're following from a distance. And that's the thing, is that some people say, well, you can't say I'm not a Christian, right? You know what I'm saying? So they're on the boat, right? They're just on, and there's sometimes you see them, right? The boats. Well, when I was growing up, I used to see the boats. They used to be on the yachts, and they used to be in the distance, right? And they're just drifting and stuff like that. And, you know, they're like, well, we're close to the shore anyway, right? So, you know, thing. But we don't want to be Christians like that. We don't want to follow Christ from a distance, right? We want to be those who are drawing closer to him. He wants us to draw closer to him. He wants us to get closer to him. He's the target. He's the one. He wants to have that relationship with us. So I want to encourage us that not to follow from a distance. And another thing that could happen is you can drift and you can hit a rock. And what happens? You shipwreck, right? And that's in the 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Let's read from verse 18. And he said, this I charge you, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. But let's read this verse. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Of some are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. But this is the key verse. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. And you know, this is the most subtle thing when you're drifting, right? And the funny thing about drifting too, that when I was drifting in the water, sometimes you don't even realize you're drifting until you look up and you're like, wow, how did I get so far? But that's what happened, is that it takes one day you don't read your Bible. And then the second day you're like, well, I'll get it tomorrow. And then a month goes by and you're like, wow, you know, I didn't open my Bible. I didn't study as I should. I read the verse of the day, but I didn't, you know. And so this is what is a subtle thing, but it says having faith and a good conscience. But people have rejected that concerning faith has suffered shipwreck. And so there's another thing, is that sometimes the social media, the different things on the TV, the things that are pulling our attention, right? Some people have their conscience, their conscience is telling them this is wrong, right? But they have rejected it and they say, well, you know what? And this is what the world does. It sears your conscience, right? Is that after a while, I'm thinking about like Lot, you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Or I think after a while, it's like you get desensitized to the things that you watch. Or the thing, first time you watch something and you hear a curse word, and you're like, let me turn this off. Then the next time, if you let that go on, the next thing you see, you'll be watching stuff that you shouldn't even be watching. You know what I'm saying? Or things that you shouldn't be delving into. And these are the things that he's talking about. He says, some have rejected their good conscience and faith. And concerning these things, they suffer shipwreck. Trust me, when you start drifting, you know what I'm saying? You know, and when I was reading about this, when you start drifting, is that you don't know how far you're going to go. It's only after you look up. But that's the key. We have to keep on looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. If we keep on looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see how far the distance we are from him. And then we can say, okay, wow, I'm too far, right? Don't be like the disciple that he was following the Lord Jesus Christ from a distance, right? And he was okay with that. Don't be okay with following the Lord Jesus Christ at a distance. He wants you to come to him. He wants to have a relationship with you. He loves you. He wants you to be close to him. And so we have to always be careful about our conscience. And our faith, how are we doing? Let's do a check, right? And do a check and say, you know, how my conscience, how is things? You know what I'm saying? You know, like, you know, if your friend is making a crude joke, you know what I'm saying? You know, and you tell him, look, you know what I'm saying? You know, you don't laugh, first of all. But I mean, you know, I told one guy, I said, look, you know, I let him know, look, I got a Bible study to go to later on. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you let them know. Subtly, that, you know, look, you know what I'm saying? So they know what type of person you are, that they're not going to think, because the world wants to pull you in gradually, right? So they test you out. They say the joke and they're looking, see if you're going to laugh. Then the next time, they say, well, you know, you laugh at this one. So they're going to think, and that's what the world does. They keep on pushing the envelope. They keep on pushing the envelope and they keep on pushing. If you look at social media today, you can't even go on social media. You know, you go on some of these things, the way people are dressed, the way people are thinking, is you can see the world is pushing the envelope more and more and more to see how much we're going to take, how much we're going to take, how much we're going to take. And this is what happens, that people who have rejected this, it says they have suffered shipwreck. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to ruin your Christian life. He wants to make you feel defeated to not have a good Christian life. And this is the thing, that we have to just keep on looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, look, look, I'm too far away. Let me get back to him. Another scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. And again, I'm sorry I'm turning to all these scriptures, but I'm just trying to help us understand when I was doing, you know, about drifting. So sorry if you have to turn a lot. 15 and verse 58. And the first part is what I want to hone in on. And this is something, again, has to do with anchoring, but it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I want to tie these two things together, to being steadfast and immovable and abounding in the work of the Lord. I believe these things go together, right? The thing is that why sometimes we drift, we focus on the wrong things, right? We're not focused on the Lord. We're not focused on our brethren. We're not focused on anything. We're focused on ourselves most of the time. And when you focus on yourself, you know what the first thing you're doing? You're looking down. You can't see what's in front of you. You're focused on, and these are legitimate things sometimes, right? How I'm going to pay my bills. How I'm going to, you know, do this, how I'm gonna, my family, you know, as the kids get older, you think about, yeah, are they gonna have a good career, who are they gonna marry, other things start coming into your mind, like what's gonna happen, and the Lord just telling you, just stop, you know what I'm saying, you know, it says, focus on doing the work of the Lord, you know what I'm saying, and that's what helps us keep close to the Lord. You can't do work of the Lord if you're not gonna be close to the Lord, right, you know what I'm saying, you know. Well, I mean, let me put it that you can, but it won't be fruitful. You know what I'm saying? But if you want to be fruitful and abounding in the work of the Lord, it says that you'll be steadfast and immovable. Why? Because you'll be so secured in the things of the Lord that you're not going to be tossed to and fro. And I want to encourage you, if you feel yourself drifting, go do something for the Lord. Go work at a camp. Go do something in the assembly. Do something at your job, wherever you are. Do something for the Lord. It says, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's another benefit of it. The labor that we do at our jobs, I'm not saying it's not in vain because we get paid. But if we die tomorrow, you know what? They'll put an ad in the paper and they'll find right somebody else to do it. We're replaceable, right? And so I just want to encourage us is that what we do for the Lord is not in vain, right? No matter what we do, there's a heavenly reward for that. There may not be no earthly reward for it, but there'll be a heavenly reward for it. But if we want to be steadfast and immovable, and that's something you want to do when you're drifting, you want to stop moving, you know what I'm saying? You want to get secure, you want to get, you know, recalibrate yourself to get closer to the Lord, you want to do the work for the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Focus on doing something for Him. Focus on working for Him, and you'll see how you'll stop drifting, you'll stop moving. And I want to tell you also that if you're drifting, the Lord is not judging you. He loves you, right? That's another thing that we feel that too. Oh, I got far away, so he's not gonna take me back, right? I've done this wrong thing. I haven't been faithful to Him. I've done this thing in secret and nobody knows. But you know, it's weighing on your conscience. The Lord saying, just come to me, just come to me. And I wanna close with Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. Because the prodigal son was somebody who drifted away. And he drifted away. And you know what? He thought his father wasn't going to accept him. And it says in verse 20. Oh, no. Let's read from verse 18. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Made me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer to be worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For my son, who was dead and alive again, was lost and found. And they began to be merry. And I just want to make this application to us. Is that the father never left where he was. Right? He was always there waiting. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I want to think it to the Lord Jesus Christ, who's there. Let's just picture him on the shore. We're drifting away. He's not going anywhere. He's always looking for us. He's always willing to open to welcome us with open arms. Right? And we always feel like, you know, as this young man, he felt like, oh, you know, he's no longer going to accept me. But the Lord Jesus Christ is always there. He's always beckoning us to come. It's us who are always drifting away, right? It says, lest you drift away, right? And so we're always the ones moving away from the things in life, things affecting us, things that are taking over, you know, our minds or our affections or whatever. But he's always there willing to say, you know what? As long as you come to me, I'm willing to, you know, I'm going to accept you as you are, right? And I just want to encourage us today with these couple of things that if you find yourself drifting, if you find yourself moving away, you know what I'm saying, that you need to wake up. You know, you need to start looking and saying, like, what's clouding my vision, right? Is it because, you know, as we read in 2 Peter about the things that can make you have short-sightedness or make you can't see? Are these things absent in my life? You know what I'm saying? If you want to stop drifting, you want to stop moving, right? It says that you should do the work of the Lord, right? And I want us to encourage us. What's making us drift? Most time is the wind, the things that are contrary. And we know what's contrary to the things of the Lord is the world. The world's contrary. It's trying to toss us to and fro, as the Bible says. But we're supposed to be immovable, right? And also, I want us to know that our target is not moving. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. You know what I'm saying? It's we who change. You know what I'm saying? He's always willing to accept us the way we are. And then also another thing is that you don't want to get shipwrecked. What happens when we get shipwrecked? Our conscience is bad. Our faith is bad, right? And so what happens is it causes us to have shipwreck. It causes us to basically mess up our testimony. Again, once you're saved, you cannot be unsaved. I just want to encourage us in that, right? You know what I'm saying? But we can have a bad relationship with the Lord and follow him from a distance. And I want to encourage us. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are far off, right? You are far off. And the Lord Jesus Christ is calling. He's saying that, you know, he's willing to save you, right? And he's calling you all the time. He's saying, look, I want you to believe in me, right? And if you are in your sins, that means you're far off. And you can't, no matter what you do, you can't come close, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, but he has made a way for you. He has died on the cross, right? He has given his life for you. And it's very, very easy for you, if you are not saved, to become saved and to get close to him. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, you know, if you confess with your mouth and you believe it in your heart and you believe that I rose again, you know, he's saying that if you confess with your mouth, you know what I'm saying, and you believe it in your heart, it says that you shall be saved, right? And so that's all you have to do, be saved. If you are a sinner, if you feel that you are far away from the Lord is calling you too. He's calling us as believers, but he's calling those who do not know him as sinners. He's saying, look, I died for you. I gave my life for you. There's no greater love than this, than a man who laid down his life for his friend. But we weren't his friends. We were his enemies. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us. So I want to encourage us with these couple of things. This message was delivered to you, but first it was for me, right? And I see sometimes in my life, and I'm not perfect, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, we all go through those times when we feel we're drifting away from things. We feel like, you know, life has got so much that it's like you're trying to focus on life, but you can't do life without Christ, right? You know what I'm saying? You can't do life without Christ. You have to focus on him, because if you don't focus on him, you're going to feel anxious. You're going to feel depression. You're going to feel all these things, right? Because the life will have you tossed to and fro. And I'm not saying you won't experience these things. And I told somebody, he said he was going through some things. I was talking to somebody and he said he was going through some things. And my thing is that, you know, Paul had the thorn in the flesh, right? And he couldn't get that. He couldn't get over that, right? But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Is that the Lord, even in these storms where the Lord is with us, we could get over them, right? We could get through them. And I could speak from personal experience. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you're going through times, storms of life, you feel yourself drifting. You feel yourself how you can hold on to something you can't. It's like, hold on to the Lord. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on to him. And try to get back to him as fast as you can. Because if you don't, the world will pick you up. They'll toss you out. And they'll keep you as far away from him as possible. So may you be encouraged by this. For his name's sake, amen. Amen.